This sermon was originally preached to the people of Rejoice Fellowship on August 20th, 2023. This is Genesis chapter 45, 1 through 15, read from the Common English Bible. Joseph could no longer control himself in front of all of his attendants, so he declared, "Everyone, leave now." No one stayed with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians and Pharaoh's household heard him. Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Is my father really still alive?" His brothers couldn't respond because they were terrified before him. Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they moved closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold to Egypt. Now, don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me here. Actually, God sent me before you to save lives. We've already had 2 years of famine in the land, and there are 5 years left without planting or harvesting. God sent me before you to make sure you'd survive and to rescue your lives in this amazing way. You didn't send me here. It was God who made me a father to Pharaoh, master of his entire household, and ruler of the whole land of Egypt. Hurry," he said, "go back to your father. Tell him this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master of all of Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You may live in the land of Goshen. So you will be near me, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and everyone with you. I will support you there, so you, your household, and everyone with you won't starve, since the famine will still last 5 more years. You and my brother Benjamin have seen with your own eyes that I'm speaking to you. Tell my father about my power in Egypt and about everything you've seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." He threw his arms around his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his shoulder. He kissed all of his brothers and wept, embracing them. After that, his brothers were finally able to talk to him. Word of God. Word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you today. So this reading was the culmination and the last day in our summer worship series where we focused on some of the very beginnings of scriptures. The beginnings of our faith, the beginnings of our faith's history, the beginning of the people of God. See, it all started with Abraham. But this wasn't just about Abraham. It goes down the line from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, and from Jacob to his many sons, 12 to be in fact, his 12 sons who become the namesake of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Joseph here, his story, reconciling with his brothers. The week before last, Deacon Sarah Jane Baublitz preached for Rejoice Fellowship. And we were at the part of the story where Jacob's youngest son, Joseph, gets bamboozled by his jealous older brothers who sell him to slave traders headed for Egypt. And that's where that week's story left off. No comfortable resolution. And our reading today, fortunately but also unfortunately, skips over decades of a fascinating story. So here's a very brief recap of what we skipped. Joseph was indeed sold into slavery in Egypt. Pretty soon, though, he's purchased by a high-up in Pharaoh's court. But this doesn't last very long, and he gets sent to jail. But while in jail, his reputation starts to build, and people realize that he has one very specific gift that not many others have. Joseph can interpret dreams. and he is interpreting everyone's dreams. Meanwhile, Pharaoh starts having these troubling dreams, and he's seeking guidance, but no one really knows what to tell him. So eventually, somebody recommends he talk to this guy in jail, Joseph. And so Joseph gets out of jail, especially for this visit. He interprets Pharaoh's dream to say that there will be 7 years of plentiful harvest, but then 7 years of worldwide famine. So start stocking up now. And Pharaoh is enamored and says, okay, and I'm putting you in charge of the whole country. And that's how Joseph goes from being a prisoner to the governor of Egypt in one afternoon. All things considered, the dream does come true. 7 years of plenty, and now the famine is hitting hard, and people are traveling from all over to buy some of the grain that Egypt stored up. I'm not gonna lie, this sort of feels like insider trading. Like, if Joseph would have pulled this in today's economy, I'm pretty sure he'd definitely go right back to jail. Which, I don't know if that says more about us than it does him, but anyway. Guess who has to travel to Egypt to buy grain? You guessed it. Joseph's brothers. Now, this emotional reunion that we just read was not technically their first visit. Their first visit is all caught up in weird drama and deception because Joseph is still mad. He knows it's his brothers, but they don't recognize him. And so he sends them back to Canaan and says they have to bring back their youngest brother, Benjamin, next time. But Benjamin replaced Joseph as the favorite youngest. And Jacob was like, don't you dare take my Benjamin on this dangerous journey. But it's the only way they'll get grain. And so they're also like, why do you care about this brother? It's a lot. It's a whole movie. It is a dramatic he said, he said, he said. And honestly, I'm sad there hasn't been another major movie about Joseph and this story since the classic 2000 animated feature Joseph, King of Dreams, starring none other than Ben Affleck and Mark Hamill. So the brothers go back to Canaan, and this time they bring their brother Benjamin. There's definitely still plenty of weird trickery and deception this time too, until finally, Joseph sets all of his weird manipulative tactics aside and just releases decades of pain. His weeping is quite literally of biblical proportions. This is not just a teary little encounter or a casual reunion. This is true, honest to God, weeping. On the surface, this is an incredibly tender moment. As Joseph sheds his vengefulness and forgiveness washes over him, his brothers two, at first, are too stunned to speak. They can't believe that this shrewd official who made them jump through all these hoops was actually the brother that they tried to kill. Changed their minds, and instead of killing, just trafficked him away. Until finally, they too are finally able to say something. But see, that's also just what's on the surface. Underneath the surface, there's still all this weird exploitation and brotherly feuding. But I'm reminded of Deacon Sarah Jane's sermon from the previous week. She said that eventually, she grew to approach the Bible not so much as a how-to guide for life, but instead a story of the people of God and how they lived. The good choices they made, and the less good ones, too. The lessons they learned. Instead of this being an instruction guide for us today, it's more of a long family story. What stories in your family get told and retold and retold and retold. For me growing up, whenever it was me or my brother's birthdays, my parents would tell the story of how we were born. Every year, as if the story changed from the last time we'd heard it. But that's the thing. The story did change every year. Not in, like, factual differences, but every year, different details were emphasized. These little nuggets of information that seemed pertinent to recap changed ever so slightly from year to year. And different times in my family's life, different details of this one same story seemed more relevant than other times. As I look back on our telling of this story this summer, the little details that I feel like we emphasized a lot had been the amount of drama in the story. Apparently, the drama woven throughout this entire narrative was something that stood out to me, at least. And maybe that's because we don't usually think of drama when we think about the Bible. But now, all summer long, we'd been reading something that could easily have been adapted into a great soap opera. And the next time we read this story, whatever that will be, I wonder what will stand out to us then. Because I'm sure it'll be something a little bit different. That's the beauty of returning and rediscovering these stories over and over. Every time we have the option to hear something new. And we can't know what that thing is going to be until we read it again. So I don't know about you all, but I enjoyed this series. I enjoyed this little break from our regularly scheduled programming. I enjoyed taking a little bit of time, more time than we might normally, to examine a specific narrative of the Bible. And now, I'm ready to return once again to the stories of how Jesus Christ lived among God's faithful people. And something different will stand out to us yet again. What do you think it will be? What do you think might be the thread that connects the next season in the life of the church? I'm excited to find out. And I hope you are too. Amen.